Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
They blew it in the Garden of Eden, Ichabod. The glory departed. I've tried to give it to individuals, to my people, and they blew it. In Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, he said, I will not give my glory to another. Didn't say another man. Now, I want you to get this because you and I have heard all our life God won't give his glory to anyone. That is simply not true. He crowned man with honor and glory, and he's given glory down through the centuries. So, there in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, give my gift to another, read the rest of the verse. He said, these idols and carved images are not going to get my glory. Then over in chapter 48, he said, I'm not going to give my glory to another. And he's talking about the Israel, the people of God. He said, I've given my glory to them, and they've become stubborn, rebellious, backslidden, obnoxious. But I'm still not going to give my glory out to these heathen nations because they don't worship me. John 17:22 ought to settle it once and for all for every believer. Jesus had prayed three times, I believe, there in John 17 chapter. He looked up and prayed. Learn to pray sometime with your eyes open. Look up. And he looked up and prayed and said, Father, give me the glory that I had before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord, for that glory. Verse 22, he said, Father, the glory that thou hast given me, that's the Shekinah, I have given to my disciples. That's John 17:22. You don't believe in Christ's answered prayer if you deny that God and say, God will give his glory to no one. Apostle Paul wrote and said, God, you're not to boast before God. It has nothing to do with the glory. D-O-X-A. It said, man is not to boast before God. In some translations there it says, glory before God. And actually, before he's through, he said, if a man does glory boast, let him boast or glory in the Lord. Not in himself, but in the Lord. So God said, all right, Moses, if you'll build a little tabernacle according to the pattern, do everything right, the outer court, the inner court, the holiest of holies, and then if you'll do everything I tell you with the Ark of the Covenant and the high priest enter in with the incense and the double veil, no artificial light or no natural light can come in, total darkness, I'll meet you within the veil in the holiest of holies. He did. That holiest of holies lit up brighter than the noonday sun. And he met them there if they obeyed. Then years later, Solomon's temple. He built a temple. Now, when Moses built the tabernacle, I want to remind you that he didn't build it for God. Solomon didn't build a house for God. Moses and the Song of Moses, we better learn it because in the book of Revelation said that all of the saved in heaven are going to sing that song, the Song of Moses. And in the Song of Moses, he says two or three times, my God, I want to build him a habitation. I want to build him a house. But he knew it because God told him, build a house where my name is placed and recorded. My name. They didn't build a house for God. They built a house for the name of God, which is very important. Tie that in with Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. This is my name forever, and it's a memorial for me. So they build a house for the name. 3,000 priests ready, grand opening. The Shekinah. All of them fell. No catchers for 3,000. That takes 6,000 catchers. Then they tried to enter in. Smoke. The cloud and the fire was the Shekinah presence of God with the children of Israel. It was the smoke in Solomon's temple. It was the fiery chariots of Elijah being received up into heaven in a whirlwind. All right? In the New Testament. You still with me? The star from the east. That wasn't planets going together because it came and stood right over the house. Where the child, not the little babe, not the manger, the wise men didn't come to the manger, but it stood over the house where the young child, that's later, was. That is a tip, a touch of the Shekinah glory led those wise men, we don't know how many, the Bible doesn't say three, but anyway, led them from the east. Now, the shepherd's field, shepherds out there tending their flock by night, Luke first chapter, and in Matthew, zoom, a shaft of light. Angels begin singing. Have you ever heard angels sing? You're going to. Not in the sweet by and by, but the here, now, and now. Shaft of light. All right, let's hurriedly move along. On the day of Pentecost, how many like to know how many's in the upper room? I'm going to tell you. Acts first chapter said there's about 120. Why did it say about 120 when God's always exact with numbers? It says the 12, then there's 12. It says the 70, then there's 7. It says 500, then there's 500. But here, Acts first chapter said there's about 120. You know how many is in the upper room? I'll tell you how many. 119. Acts second chapter, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in an upper chamber. They were with one accord. And the Bible said that there was a sound, not wind blowing. Now God is in wind too. William Brenham experienced that, my dad, and in my younger life, sometimes I'd experience it's like a whirlwind of air in the trees or all above you. And sometimes you can actually feel it. But in the upper room, it was the sound as a rushing around. My friend Finnis Dake of Dake's Bible said, in his study, and I think he might be right, he said it's the nearest thing to a sonic boom. Have you ever heard a sonic boom? We used to hear them all the time with the space shuttle coming back into Florida, and we'd hear whoom, whoom. Sometimes it sounded like three. Whoom, whoom, whoom. The sonic boom, and it shakes everything, the walls and everything. Well, there was sound as a sonic boom, not only in the upper room, but all of Jerusalem. My God, what is this? They'd had darkness when Christ is dying on the cross. They had an earthquake. Now they got a sonic boom. And it said, there were cloven tongues of fire. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, it said, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon Jesus, the Messiah, the branch. And it said, the Spirit of wisdom, that's number one. Say wisdom. Number two, the Spirit of understanding. Say understanding. Number three, the Spirit of counsel. Number four, the Spirit of might. Number five, the Spirit of knowledge. Then he won't judge after the sight of his eyes or the hearing of his ears. That's the Spirit of faith. Say faith.
Faith.
Then with equity he'll judge the meek of the earth. That's the Spirit of love. Say love. I've just named the sevenfold spirits to you. Those sevenfold spirit bestows the nine spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. This is Isaiah, the 11th chapter, and this is 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. From the first spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, to each and every member of the body of Christ is given at least one of these talents. He said, to one, the Spirit of wisdom gives the gift of wisdom. Number two, the Spirit of understanding gives the gift of discerning of spirits. Number three, the Spirit of counsel bestows in the New Testament church tongues, interpretation of tongues or languages, and prophecy. Number four, the Spirit of might bestows in the New Testament church, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the gifts of healing and the gift of miracles. Number five, the Spirit of knowledge bestows in the church the gift of knowledge. Number six, the Spirit of faith bestows in 1 Corinthians, 12th chapter, the six spirits, the Spirit of faith bestows the gift of faith. And then the Spirit of love, the seventh. Read right on into chapter 13. There used to be no chapters, no verses. The Bible just kept on reading. It said, if you have any of all of these and love, you're not baptized and saturated and penetrated with the love of God, you become a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, speaking in tongues. You become an absolute nothing, performing miracles and understanding all mysteries. Now, when the Holy Spirit descended in the upper room, it was like a fiery shaft. When Moses saw the burning bush, it's like glistening lightning. It's not like fire. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew, the 17th chapter on the high mountain, His garments glistened like white lightning. It wasn't a flame of fire. The burning bush wasn't a flame of fire. But the translators and the humans that write it, they've got to use something natural and they don't know what. But if you'll say glistening lightning, you'll know one of the manifestations of the Shekinah glory of God. When the Shekinah glory of God manifests itself, it is either subjectively or objectively. Subjectively is things that are unseen, He's manifesting Himself in, but they're just as real. See, the real world is the spiritual world, not this world. Your thoughts are things in the spiritual world. But the real world, the spiritual world, He manifests Himself subjectively, directly to the soul, and to the spirit, and to the mind, and to the spiritual man. But objectively, He manifests the Shekinah in the cloud, the fire, the burning bush, the glistening robe, and the face, the shining face of Moses. That is the Shekinah objectively manifesting itself. Somebody say amen. All right, we want that Shekinah restored. The tongues of fire. Now, it's a sevenfold spirit. It's biblically correct to call the Holy Spirit. Great is the mystery of God. It's the seven spirits. In Revelation 1:5, it said the seven spirits. In Revelation 3:1, it said the seven spirits. In Revelation 4:5, I believe it is, says the seven spirits. In Revelation 5:6, it says the seven spirits. Now, this is the message in Revelation Jesus Christ to the aged apostle John. The Spirit of God is a sevenfold spirit. And I've given you Isaiah, and I've lined that up with the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I've told you sevenfold spirit in the upper room. There was a great shaft of glistening white lightning or fire came in that room. Oh, the sonic boom, and then fork cloven is a big shaft like a tree trunk. Out from that ran 17 arms. Out from those arms, at the end of the arms, was like seven fingers. This group of seven in the upper room, one shaft came right out. And there were 17 shafts. 17 times 7 is what? 119. That's why the Bible said there was about 120 in the upper room. To fulfill type and antitype, the Holy Spirit. Now, when that Holy Spirit reached out there, and that sevenfold spirit, if the flame, we'll call it a flame, if the shaft of Shekinah glory in the upper room was over you, and as a spirit of wisdom, God gave you the gift of wisdom. Maybe she's next to you, but here, that little shaft of, all of it's the Holy Spirit, but gave you the gift of discerning of spirits, gave you prophecy or tongues or interpretation of tongues, gave you the spirit of might, which is the gifts of healing or miracles. The Bible said we all don't have the same gift. And it said for His will, not man's will, not Pentecostal teaching or a charismatic teaching, but it said according to God's will three times in 1 Corinthians. Now you understand what I'm talking about. So this great shaft in the upper room was the Holy Spirit manifesting itself through the Shekinah glory of God, and it ran out in one main pillar. Then it ran out in 17 arms, and then like 17 fingers, and 17 times 7 is what? 119 people in the upper room. Now, right briefly, if I'm going to say the same thing you've heard all your life and come up here with some cute little stories and all, you and I both just shouldn't stay at home. I want fresh manna from heaven myself. 500 years ago, now look, how many believe that God's still on the throne? How many, though you don't understand it, I don't either, you believe in the sovereignty of God. God can do what He wants to. All right. How many believe, one other thing, how many believe you're hoping and praying and you believe God will visit this world one more time with a great move of God? Now, I want to show you something. A great move of God doesn't come in revival. I'll have to explain, but I mean, I'm not for revival. I don't pray for revival. I don't pray for none of the Pentecost. We had one 2,000 years ago. We ought to be 2,000 years beyond Pentecost. Now, here's all that a revival can do. Revival can only bring you back where you were and add a few little fringe enticements. That's all revival does. And God says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. Yes, He'll revive us. Oh, revive us. But see, we're supposed to live continually in revival, and if we don't, we're backslidden, don't have sense enough to know it. But all revival can do it means do it again. Lord, revive us. Bring us back where we were. But God said, I'll do a new thing. Did you hear it? Maybe we've got to come through the revival to get the new thing. But bless heart, I am not fighting for revival. I'm fighting for revelation. Now, revival, you won't agree. But Charles G. Finney, that great prince of evangelists in the early American colonies, that tripled and quadrupled the churches of America with his converts and his 9 years of glorious meetings. He said, revival is not the works of God. You say, oh, now, he's an antichrist. He's a false. Wait a minute. He said, God's promised, if you'll do this, I'll do that. He said, revival depends upon man. Read Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's true. If my people, which are called... See, God stays in like in the realm of revival. We ought to stay there, but we slip back and cool off and, you know, our spirituality sort of evaporated, you know. And we just, well, I'm holding my own. That's what you think. It's like a bicycle. You keep pedaling or you get off. You keep seeking God or you have nothing. So revival only revives us again, brings us to here. Now, 500 years ago, this whole world was in ritual stupidity and heathenism. Roman Catholicism had dominated all of Europe and its kings and its courts and everything else. And as such, that their own history shows this. I'm not trying to blackguard anyone, but it shows it. And they claim that, you know, the Pope was the voice of God on this earth and vicar of Christ and so forth. But now look, God started the Reformation. If you'll read the book of Romans, and that's what Martin Luther and others were reading finally, that the whole world is guilty before God, a righteous God, it said. And they sought forgiveness, and they couldn't find it. Kissing St. Peter's statue's toe, kissing the Pope's ring, and climbing the steps of the Vatican on their knees. A friend of mine in Columbia, and he ended up a missionary, but he is in the army, and he used to bear his legs and climb up a rocky hillside to a little shrine of the Virgin Mary with his legs all bleeding and his knees all cut up. It takes sometimes weeks for him to heal, trying to find favor with God. So all this ritual stupidity to formalism. And you know what? God came on the scene and said, I'm a righteous God. He's always been a righteous God. But every great... Now get this straight. You better mark it down. Every great move of God is from a new revelation and not what God does, but who God is. You hear it? Not what God does, but who He is. Hebrews 11:6 again. Must believe that God is. So God said, I'm a righteous God. Martin Luther... And you know, it wasn't Protestants doing this. It was Roman Catholic priests doing it. They broke. They said, well, how can I be made righteous? Holy Spirit dealt with them. And they said, oh, I see now. The just shall live by faith. A righteous God. It was a revelation of who God is that brought the Reformation. And thank God for the Reformation. Now, 200 years passed by and there's a bloodbath in France. Terrible. It's leaping over the English Channel. And God said to a little group in Oxford, I am a holy God. Now, He adds to it. The revelation of God is always progressive, more and more, never less and less. And it's cumulative. When God ever reveals Himself, He's that from that moment on. All right? God said, I'm a holy, not only a righteous God, a holy God. They believe that. John Wesley was one of the leaders, and Spurgeon, Whitfield, a lot of them. And guess what? The great holiest revival swept the globe. Don't belittle it. It really did great things for God. It came from the revelation. With every great move of God, there's a new revelation of who God is. New emphasis and revelation of who God is. Then the Holy Spirit shows what God does concerning that revelation. I'm a righteous God. The just shall live by faith, and you're saved by just believing, having faith. Repenting your sins, turn holy to God. Then, in holiness, I'm a righteous God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Then, 200 years later, God said, particularly around the beginning of the 1900s and a little before, He'd already swept England with this. See, Pentecostalism, so-called, I hate to use that word because it's not a biblical. Everybody that really believes in Christ left Pentecost. This is never known as Pentecostal. But anyway, it's just 50th. But anyway, the Holy Spirit people, God said, I'm God the Holy Spirit. I'm not only a righteous God, a holy God. I'm God the Holy Spirit. Now, see, the move of God began with who God is. Then the Holy Spirit accompanied that by baptizing people with the Holy Spirit. You understand? The Pentecostal revival didn't come from signs, wonders, and miracles and gifts of the Spirit. Even their leaders write on that and say that. That's not true. If it's a real work of God, it begins with God. It began with God. God said, I'm God the Holy Spirit. You've forgotten that I am the Holy Spirit. Now, the manifestation the Spirit did on that revelation is you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He it is. Not only take away the sins of the world, He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that is a Spirit-filled life. Now, you'll have to get the book. Time has run out. I'm not trying to sell books. I'd give every one of you one if I was able and had them. But I don't own any myself. All right. The Awesome Glory. It's not just another book. And it's not for everybody. If you're not hungry for God and if you're satisfied and know it all, got it all, don't waste time or money. But if you want to be a forerunner like John the Baptist, if you want to be a forerunner of what God's doing, I suggest the Awesome Glory because this, He is revealing, I am the Father of glory. I am restoring the Shekinah glory that should have never left. Ichabod, the glory's departed, but Shekinah, the glory returns. Not in the next world, but right now in this present world. Just let me give you a few scriptures. And I promise I was never any good with notes. I stay up all night and make notes, but then I'm never any good with them. But just give me patience. Give me your patience. The glory of the Lord will be in the land of the living. God said, all flesh shall see the glory. And this is speaking of the Shekinah of God. All flesh shall see salvation. All flesh shall be, if my spirit will be upon all flesh. And the same words are used that all flesh will see and have the glory of God. Give me those scriptures in the beginning of chapter 2, please, right quickly here. And then we've got to close this. How many believe I've tried to preach you the truth? How many of you are going to be ready and step out in faith and believe God for more? I'll show you how the members of the body of Christ are become living stones in a habitation for God the Father. The church is not the mostest, greatest, bestest in all things God has. In Ephesians 2nd chapter, it said, the church groweth unto a holy habitation for God the Father through the Spirit. Did you hear it? Now here it is. Isaiah 45. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Numbers 14:21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. This is not going to be done just, it'll start. And it's already begun with people just like you and me. I start preaching and preaching in the glory sometimes. People won't let me stop. And one of the longest services, 5.5 hours in Little Rock, they wouldn't let me stop. I stopped and sit down and they wouldn't leave. Young people wouldn't leave. 2.5 or 3 hours Saturday night, not last night, but a week ago up there in Houston. They couldn't get enough of it. Now, the Word of God said this, Psalm 72:19. Blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Say amen. He said, Ezekiel 26:20, I'll set my glory in the land of the living, not the sweet by and by, but right now. Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Isaiah 66:19, they shall declare my glory among the heathen, among the nations. Isaiah 60:7 and 13, I will glorify the house of my glory, and I will make the place of my feet, that's the earth, place of his feet, the earth glorious. The Bible said in Romans 5:2, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 8:18 said the glory of God will reveal not to us, but in us. It's going to be revealed, take all scripture in us, first of all to us, in us, and through us. the glory of God shall be revealed. The Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Hebrews 2nd chapter, after what is man, thou art mindful of, and it said that Christ is the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 2:10, bringing many sons into glory. And that doesn't mean a glory realm. It's talking about the Shekinah glory of God, the restoration of what Satan has taken away from us. God wants us to have it back. He stripped us of the glory. Haggai 2:9 said, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Stand to your feet. Lift your hand. Father, I pray for these members of the body of Christ. You are the head. We're members. But you're also the chief cornerstone of a house, a habitation for God our Father to restore the glory, the chief cornerstone. And Peter said, we're lively stones in a spiritual building. And Lord, you teach us. You show us. You reveal the truth to us. Oh God, we don't want to stand on the sidelines. We don't want to be run over. We don't want to be left out. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now you girls call your name. You men call your name. There was a man or woman sent from God whose name is... Everybody say your name. There is a man, a person sent from God, a man or woman whose name is... And that prophecy of John, not only that all flesh should see the salvation of God, but also one prophecy said, the crooked places be made straight, the rough places be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the glory of God. Say, Lord, I'm available. Lord, lead me on. Reveal to me in the nighttime, in the daytime. Help me to walk in the heavenlies. My God, I pray for Thy Shekinah glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.